a woman who conducted an anthropology experiment. She's a professor of anthropology who had kind of had it with her students, and so she decided to become one. Her name is Kathy Small. She used the pseudonym Rebecca Nathan while she was a student and has written about that experience in a book that's just out called My Freshman Year, What a Professor Learned by Becoming a Student. Kathy, welcome to the Paul Harris Show.
Thank you, Paul.
So why'd you do this?
Well, you kind of captured it. I had been teaching for 15 years, and every year I get older, and they don't.
Yeah.
And, I just came to the point where I felt like I didn't understand them anymore, like they were really seriously a different culture, an alien culture from me. And I'm an anthropologist, a cultural anthropologist, and I spend my life studying alien cultures in a way, or cultures that are different from my own, and trying to understand them. And what I thought is, gee, I should use my anthropology to try to understand students the way I go overseas and try to understand Tongans, where I spent a lot of years living in a village there. And I think what happens when you live with people and you go through the same things that they go through is you come to understand them and appreciate them in a different way. So that's what I had in mind.
Why did Kathy Small have to become Rebecca Nathan?
Well, I didn't actually in school. I used my real name.
Oh, you did?
Cool. Yeah, I only wrote under a pseudonym because when students contributed to my book, I told them that I was writing a book, and I told them that I wouldn't be using their names or the name of my university. And so I realized when I was writing this up, gee, if I don't use the name of the university, I better not use my own name. So I wrote the book under a pseudonym.
But the book says who you are.
Well, now it does, because reporters...
We outed you.
So I had no choice, and, so that's why I speak now about it.
But did the students know that you were a professor at that university while you were...
No, they did not know that I was a student at a professor at this university.
None of the people you ran into in the course of that year had ever taken a class from you?
Well, like I said, I had become pretty alienated from my undergraduate students, and I was teaching mostly graduate students, and I hadn't taught an undergraduate class in a while.
So it had been long enough that the cycle of college had moved through. And
that's correct.
Okay.
Now, when I did interview people who didn't know me as a student, I would identify myself as a professor and say I'm writing a book. And otherwise, if they already knew me as a student, so that I could continue to be a student, I just didn't say anything about my identity, but I did say that I'm writing a book, and would they like to contribute some stories or ideas or opinions to it.
All right, so let's talk about you actually becoming part of the culture, and I would think the toughest part is, you talked about it being a generational difference.
I'm old.
you're not old compared to me, but you're old compared to a college student. You're well over twice their age. Let's just put it that way.
Right.
So how were you treated when you moved into a freshman dorm?
Well, I wasn't in a freshman dorm.
Oh, you weren't?
I took freshman classes because they don't have older students in freshman dorms. So I was in an upperclassman dorm.
Okay.
That had sophomores, juniors, and seniors.
Okay.
And they were wonderful to me. They told me afterwards that they felt a little bad for me, that I probably was a divorcee who was coming back to school because they couldn't support themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So
there was no pretense on your part that you were going to try to pull off looking or acting like a 22-year-old?
No. No, there wasn't. I was clearly a returning student, and I was really a student in the sense that I wanted to see not so much, I wanted to see what they went through by having to do this myself. So I did take five classes. I took it with professors I didn't know, thinking that if I didn't know them, they wouldn't know me, and I show up on their roster as a freshman. And I went to school, and I really tried. I took tests, and I did papers.
How were your grades?
Not as good as you would expect, at least as my colleagues would expect. I was a B student.
Uh-huh.
There was a lot to memorize. There were a lot of multiple demands on my time as there were on other students' time, and I thought it was difficult.
The time factor seems to be one of the things that really surprised you in the book.
Oh, it really did, because I found that compared to when I went to school, there was much more to going to school. And it was much less leisurely as a result. We're taking 5, sometimes 6 classes, which, you know, you might be doing in any generation. And you're balancing academics with a social life. But then also, a lot of people are still resume building in college because there's many more people with a college degree, and there's much more competition in the job market. So they're joining professional clubs. They feel they need to be in service organizations. They need to show much more on their resume professionally and service-wise, volunteer. And the other thing that's really different is that they're in debt from school in ways that we weren't. There was much more support, I think, for public education when I was going to school. And now the public dollars don't even support a half of the budget of the university. So where is that money coming from? It's coming from their tuitions. And how are they paying those tuitions? They've got to work.
I'll tell you, Kathy, as I was reading the book,
yeah.
I was flashing back to my own days in college. I'm just a few years younger than you. We both went to college in the 70s.
Uh-huh.
And there's one sentence I wrote down here as I was reading it. Nudity, sexuality, drinking, craziness, these are certainly part of the college scene. Well, I got to tell you, that's not that different from the college that I remember.
Absolutely. And those are the things that, you know, when I talk about it in the book, I say, you know, I don't know why everyone's making such a big deal about drinking and sex. And today, it's really very, very similar to when I went to school. There's probably a little bit more drinking and a little bit less drugs.
I was going to ask you about drugs. Right. Did you see them as prevalent in the dorms as you probably remember them being in the 70s?
The drugs are different. There are much more designer drugs, prescription drugs, that have to do with lifestyle, with being able to stay up or go to sleep or handle anxiety or handle attention deficit disorder.
Are you telling me we've gone from a generation of potheads to a generation of Paxil heads?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's amazing the number of students who are on prescription drugs at this point. But life is stressful, I would have to say that. And I think one of the ways that people deal with the stress is the lifestyle, actually prescription drugs, not illegal drugs. And the other way they deal with it is college management, kind of figuring out how to go through the ropes with a minimum amount of effort.
Talking with Kathy Small, who uses the pen name Rebecca Nathan for her book, My Freshman Year, What a Professor Learned by Becoming a Student. Getting back into a dorm, even if you weren't around fellow freshmen, you're with sophomores, juniors, and seniors, and you're in that environment of, as you say, nudity, sexuality, drinking, and craziness. Was that easy for you to slip back into or odd?
Well, you know, I didn't necessarily have to do the nudity and craziness in the same way that they did, but it was just understandable, and it was recognizable. And it wasn't any more a part of college life than it was in the past, and I saw plenty of things. I mean, that life is not all partying in college. Most of what I saw about college was the difficulty of it, and that people were working hard, and they were working on the side, sometimes 10 and 20 hours, in addition to doing classwork.
Now, you wrote this book based on experiences you had a couple of years ago, and now you're back in the classroom teaching again, right?
I am.
Did this experience make you more sympathetic to your current students or more hard-nosed toward them, or what?
Actually, you know, I am miles more sympathetic, I would say, that the experience really showed me the complexity of student lives when I was doing this, and it's something that I try to remember as a teacher.
Does that mean you're softer on them?
I think what I am is more individualized. I can more individualize the rules in ways that I didn't before. What happens, I think, with a lot of professors after a while, when you've heard the 100th excuse for why you can't turn in the paper on time, you make a rule, and that rule you expect to apply to everybody. And what it did, again, is remind me of how different people's lives are and how complex they are. And so I tend to individualize the, you know, my rules a little bit more. I wouldn't say that I'm particularly easier, but I, you know, I'll tell you one difference. When students don't come to class, I had just come to the point where I said, well, they're adults, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and now when I have a student who doesn't come to class for a few times in a row, I will take the time to get on the email and say, I'm worried about you. What's going on? And you'd be surprised of how many times I get a response back in a way that I didn't get before. And I think just the personal contact makes a difference. And I'm much more likely to see that student back in class.
So that's where that personal contact has to come in. Rather than sitting back and waiting for the problem to come to you, you kind of go to the problem.
Yeah, I think that I do.
Because you say in the book you didn't understand why undergrads weren't coming by your office unless they really had serious problems, or why they weren't doing research under your guidance, and why when you were leading a class discussion it was like pulling teeth.
Right.
This has all changed. That experience changed your attitude about those things?
It did. It changed my attitude, and it changed some of the things that I do in the classroom in order to change those behaviors. Like office hours. One of the things I realized as a student is that, gee, you know, the teachers are all making office hours that are in the middle of the day and are convenient to them, the same way students are trying to schedule themselves that way. And as a student, I found that I couldn't get to a lot of faculty office hours because they were scheduled during my classes. So I have more flexibility, again, about finding other times for students to meet with me. And the other thing that I found from a student point of view is sometimes it's hard to go into a faculty person's office unless you have a problem. What other reason are you going to go there, even if you want to say something or you want to talk? So I try to make it easier for students to come in, and sometimes I'll actually schedule an appointment that each student has to come in one time. And it gives us the forum for talking about themselves, not only talking about a problem they're having in the course. And I think it makes for better student interactions and better learning.
I'm Paul Harris here on News Talk 1120 KMOX, talking with Kathy Small, professor of anthropology at Northern Arizona University, who went undercover, almost, inside her own school after being fed up with the students and feeling like she couldn't relate to them anymore. A real generational difference had occurred to her, and so she decided to enroll as a freshman in her own university and spent a year on campus, living in a dorm, going to classes, even eating in the cafeteria with them?
Absolutely.
The book that is memoir of that year, and I guess a lesson to a lot of people who are either going off to college or are currently teaching in a college, is called My Freshman Year, What a Professor Learned by Becoming a Student. It's a big hit. It's gone through, I think, 5 printings in the hardcover edition. It's now out in its second printing in paperback from Penguin Books, and congratulations on that success. Karen, a listener, emailed me here at paulharris@kmox.com, wants to know if male undergrads hit on you.
They absolutely didn't hit on me, but I had a lot of male friends. I had study buddies, you know, who we would get together and study with. But I'll tell you, when it came to the three kegger time, they weren't inviting me.
You didn't get to hang out with them for that?
Well, you know, once in a while students would do that, but the truth is that you don't want your mother coming to the party with you.
Kind of brings a chill to the room.
Yeah. But, you know, it was funny because I didn't even write this in the book, but one of the times that we had in our dorm, one of the activities we had was an activity on on making candy underwear or something, you know. And it was around Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, you know, it was half a joke and half serious, but it was one of the things that I went to. And there were a group of people from my hall at the activity. And somebody, a guy from a different dorm, came in the room. And he took one look at what he thought was going to be a very hot session.
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, my God, I can't believe somebody's mother is here." And you'd be surprised how the women on my hall stood up for me. And they told them to leave, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
They were upset.
Dorm life is a real culture unto itself, isn't it?
It definitely is. You know, I think college life in general is a culture unto itself, but dorm life was fun. It was noisy. It was up a lot at night. I shared a bathroom with 70 women. It was a co-ed dorm, but our bathrooms were not. And it was an interesting collective life.
And you discovered something you did not know as a professor: the importance of the door.
Of the door?
Of decorating the door.
Okay. Well, I think that a lot of students do and some students don't decorate their door. But I think what I saw as an anthropologist is the meaning of the decorating of the door, the kinds of values that are being promoted on the door. They're always about individuality and freedom and no holds barred. And no rules. They convey a certain set of themes about what college life is about. You never see your mother on your door. You don't put your mother on your door. It's not that you don't love your mother, but mothers don't go on doors. Pictures of parting goes on doors. Pictures of you with your boyfriend or you with your girlfriend go on your door. You know, certain kind of sayings go on your door about alcohol or sex or, but you don't put books and studying on your door.
No, this is you're away from home and you don't want to have home with you. You're building a new life and a new home, at least a temporary one.
Yeah, and it's a particular kind of thing, but they go inside. I mean, people love their families and those pictures are inside. You just don't want to present that to the world. It's not quite part of college culture.
Did you find that some of the students were unprepared for college? And I don't mean academically.
I think both ways is true, both academically and non-academically, yes. I did think people are overwhelmed by the freedom they have. A lot of students, this is the first time that they are really away from home, really away from parents, and they don't realize that the RAs in your dorm or the people that are supposedly in authority in your dorm, they're a year or two older than you. These are not real authority figures who are going to come say, do your homework or go to class or do this or do that. And I think some people drown in that freedom.
I know that going to college was a major shock for me. I mean, I was so stupid as a freshman that I scheduled a class Monday mornings at 8 o'clock.
Well, that they learn quickly not to do.
I learned that very quickly.
And no Friday classes. But the problem becomes that you realize if you do have a Monday morning at 8 o'clock class, that you have to go. And you have to bring that out from your own self. A lot of people think, oh, there's nobody watching me. I don't need to go to that class.
Yeah.
And that's where they start to screw up.
Yeah, that was me. The damn professor insisted that we actually show up.
Right.
Yeah. As a freshman, did you put on the freshman 15?
No, I didn't. But that was because the food was so bad.
Were you, I was going to say surprised, but let me rephrase the question here. Did you find a lot of cheating?
You know, it's a tough one because I don't think that cheating happens very publicly. I asked fellow students about cheating. I didn't ask them whether they cheated. And I think most students will tell you, and they'll tell you nationwide, that they think a lot of people cheat. And a lot of people that admit to certain instances that we call cheating is maybe 80% of students nationwide. But the problem is that oftentimes students don't think what they're doing is cheating. Let's say citing something with saying something that someone else said without giving them credit. In that way, students, you can do that on an exam, but you can't do that on a paper. So I think some of the problem with what we call, what professors call cheating, is really students not knowing the rules. And a lot of that, too, is because we have so many more students who are coming in without college-educated parents themselves. No, they're often the first to come to college. These rules have to be spelled out much more. And it's one of the things I learned as a teacher, that I really have to explain exactly what cheating is and what cheating isn't.
And doesn't the Internet also make that plagiarism without giving any credit a lot easier?
Yes, it certainly does.
I mean, were there times when you would be in the dorm and you'd be working on something for one of your classes and you could say to somebody, you know what, I just need to download a paper on this. And somebody go, oh, I know how you do that.
People do know how you do that, and they do know that that isn't right. But there are many more cases, and I think that in some ways I probably qualified as cheating as an undergraduate. Because I would do homework together with people.
Mm-hmm.
You would be in the same class and you would say, oh, you know, are you going to do the homework tonight? Yeah, and you'd kind of sit there together and talk about the problems and do them together.
All right, but put on your professor hat for just a second and tell me what's wrong with that.
Well, as a professor, I no longer think that I should require people to do homework as opposed to pay, you know, homework problems. Separately, I think that this is a good idea to have this kind of collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean that people write someone else's paper. And I think if you make clear that I would love for you to be talking about this material, but I want you to write your own paper, I think it makes for better learning.
Have you shared the findings with other faculty? Not just the stuff that you put in the book, but actually sat them down and said, look, this is how I've changed what I do as a professor?
Yes, I have. And you'd be surprised if you looked at my email at the 300 invitations that I have across the country. And when I'm doing this year, I've actually had to take a partial leave to go to 20 or 25 different universities that I've selected from that group and talk to professors who are so interested in these same issues because they, the same way as I did, they felt that they didn't understand their students. And so I'm just overwhelmed at the response that I'm getting from professors.
I hope you make them buy the book first.
Well, actually, they've been giving it out at my school, and I just had a meeting with 30 professors who all read the book, and we sat down and talked about what difference this actually makes in our teaching.
Very interesting. Kathy, thank you for your time today. I appreciate it.
Sure.
The book is already in its second paperback printing after 5 hardcover editions. It is a smash hit, and it is being read not just by professors and college students, but also, I think, probably by a lot of parents of kids who are in college or are going to be going to college in the near future. You know, some of the stuff that's in here, I look forward to my daughter 6 years from now being a freshman herself and wondering what the door of her dorm room is going to look like. Kathy Small, writing under the pseudonym Rebecca Nathan. There's a link to it on my website, harrisonline.com. This is News Talk 1120 KMOX.